The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
We got hit by a roadside bomb. I was laying in that Humvee bleeding out. I was dying.
I was injured during a rocket attack. Man, my spine was broken in three places.
My second deployment, we had three members of our platoon that were killed.
Because of your action, you gave a soldier hope. You gave life to a person who was lifeless.
I believe that insecurity today is kind of like an epidemic in our society. And as I said this morning, nothing in your life is ever right until you feel right about yourself. And you don't feel right about yourself because you do everything right, but because you've been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. What are the benefits of knowing that you've been made right with God? Well, it certainly changes your behavior. It changes the way you feel about yourself, and anytime that you change the way you feel about yourself, it begins to change your behavior. You know, so many people have problems, and they think it's this, they think it's that, they think it's something else, and there can be a lot of things involved, but I believe that one of the biggest problems that all people have who have problems, and that's most of us, is the way we feel about ourselves. I think that you can spend your whole life not liking yourself and not even know that you don't like yourself because that's the only way that you've ever felt. And you can almost even think that it's kind of a spiritual holy thing to be down on yourself. But that's not God's will for you. He wants you to have a good relationship with you. So let me ask you to think about what kind of a relationship do you have with yourself? Do you like to spend time with you? I love to be with just me. I love to be by myself. I don't argue with anybody when I'm by myself. I get along with everybody when there's nobody there but me. Amen? But now, a lot of people, they can't stand silence. They got to have something going on all the time. They don't want to be by themselves because they really don't want to have to face themselves or deal with themselves. And I've come all the way from basically self-rejection and probably bordering on self-hatred because of the things that were done to me when I was young. And you don't have to have gone through what I went through. I mean, you can get rejected as a teenager by your peers. I mean, it doesn't take much for the devil to get people convinced something is wrong with you. And then we can slip over into this pattern of what I call the performance acceptance syndrome. So we feel like the only way that we can be accepted is if we perform according to the way everybody wants us to perform. And boy, that just becomes a mess. You know, everybody in your life wants something different from you. And the problem is if you spend your life trying to give everybody what they want, you're going to lose yourself and end up not having any life of your own. Can anybody say amen? And so you have to break out of that. And one of the best ways to do that is to first learn who you are in Christ. And that terminology in Christ is throughout the New Testament, and it is so powerful. We are justified in Him. We are made right in Him. We're made holy in Him. We are sanctified in Him. And it's all about that inheritance that we have as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What He died to get, we inherit through faith. And the only way that we ever experience any of the good things that God wants us to have is we start by believing. In God's economy, you believe before you see. And sometimes you need to believe for a while before you see. We inherit the promises, Hebrews 10 says, by faith and patience. Not just faith, but you got to put patience together with your faith. And patience is not just an ability to wait. Patience is really how we behave while we're waiting. And so when you begin to believe, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, there's going to be a little bit of a battle, because if there's anything the devil does not want you to know, it's that. He does not want you to have a good attitude toward yourself. He doesn't want you to like yourself, because if you start having some confidence and being secure in who you are in Christ, you're just liable to do something great with your life. And you might even be happy and enjoy the journey. And boy, that would be a nightmare for the devil, who does everything he can to try to make us miserable. Amen? How many of you need to feel better about yourself than what you do? Well, then we got the right crowd. I wasn't sure, because you're looking kind of innocent out there tonight, but you know, people think you're just full of yourself if you say, I like myself. Why is it that people think it's so holy to say, oh, I'm just no good, I'm just a terrible person? One time I think I was up in the Pennsylvania area and I was preaching along these lines and I said, I like myself. And the next day it shows up in the paper, Meyer says she likes herself. Like that was a terrible affliction that I had, to like myself. And, you know, they would have applauded if I would have said, you know, I felt like I was no good and I'm just, you know, so grateful. And I am all those things. I am grateful. But you can't do anything worth doing in your life if you don't have some confidence. You have to learn how to confront fear and go forward. And you don't have to feel confident to be confident. And I want you to get that tonight. You don't have to feel confident to be confident. I can't necessarily say that every time I get up here, I feel confident. I don't know if I do or if I don't. I've quit asking myself. I just know this is what I'm supposed to do. I get up here, I open my mouth, and I trust God that everything is going to come out right. And that's what you have to do in everything that you do too. Don't stay in some little safe zone all your life where you know that you just can, you know I can do this little thing and I won't get in trouble and nobody's going to judge me and criticize me. And while your heart is yearning to step out and try something new or try for a different job or, I don't know, whatever, eat at a new restaurant. You know, we got to stop just staying in these little bitty lives because we're afraid to step out and do anything else. Righteousness. Got to learn how to separate your who and your do. Who we are in Christ is quite different than what we do. I don't do everything right. You don't do everything right, but you are right with God. Amen. Now, when you know that, the thing that's so good about that is the more you know that, the more right behavior you will produce. Because when you know that you are something, then you produce that thing that you believe that you are, and you do it without struggle. Have you ever seen a peach tree struggling to make peaches? I'm a peach tree, I'm a peach tree, I'm a peach tree. No, they know that they're a peach tree, and year after year they produce the fruit of peaches. I know that I'm right with God, and every year of my life I produce more and more right behavior. And you do too. The longer you're in Christ, the more your behavior is going to improve, and you won't even have to struggle with it. You got to just keep fellowshipping with God, staying in the Word, fellowshipping with God, staying in the Word. See, I don't know if you know it or not, but you're improving while you're sitting here tonight. Oh, yeah, this is a good place to be. It was worth fighting the traffic. It was worth getting out in the bad weather. It's worth fighting the traffic to get out of here. You know why? Because tomorrow morning when you wake up and the devil tries to accuse you, you're going to remember something that was said here tonight, and you're going to say, no, you're not going to ruin my day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to have a good day. You got to fight for yourself. You got to fight for your life. Now, some of the benefits of righteousness. When righteous people pray, power is made available. I love that. But what is a righteous man? Well, it's not somebody who does everything right. Let's look at James 5, 16, 17, and 18. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, And pray also for one another that you might be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. I love that. When we pray, power is made available. That's why I pray for the people in my conferences. In every session, I will pray something over the people. Because I believe when I do, that power is made available. The same thing happens when you pray. Now, the next example is an example about Elijah. Let's look at verse 17. Elijah was a human being with a nature just like we have, with feelings, affection, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed for it to rain, and it began to rain. Now, why is that so important? When a righteous man prays, verse 16, and then he's using the example of Elijah, who, although he was a great prophet, he had strengths and he had weaknesses. One day, he's up on the top of Mount Carmel making a fool out of 400 Baal prophets, a mighty man of God. The next day, he's out in the desert running from one woman, depressed, and sounding like he'd like to commit suicide. Sounds a little bit like us, doesn't it? One way one day and one day the next. But he said when he prayed, he got his prayers answered. So he's using the example that we're really no different than him. We have strengths, we have weaknesses. But if you know who you are in Christ, you will not have to pray little, wimpy, weak, barely get by prayers. You can pray boldly and you can expect God to do big things in your life. Well, I believe that today's teaching on the cure for the insecure is very important. Everyone experiences insecurity at times. However, some of you may experience insecurity at a painful and even debilitating level. So we're going to take some time to answer some of your questions on how to deal with insecurity. Ginger, what kind of questions do you have for me today?
Well, a lot of people have been sharing, these all come from Facebook, about their own life situations. And many times, they're just in circumstances where they need help.
Right.
You know, it's resulted in this insecurity. How do I get beyond it? So one example is Sharon. And she's really struggling with her value. Mm-hmm. So she says, living with insecurity makes me question my worth with God. Knowing that so many have it worse off than me, I still feel ashamed, or I feel ashamed to even ask God for help. I question God's love, and I always feel like a burden. Okay. So how can we help Sharon through that?
Well, one of the things that is good, you can't always do this, but if you can locate, with God's help, the root of your insecurity, that's helpful. You know, like I suffered with insecurity and it was a result of the sexual abuse from my dad.
Right.
Sometimes it might be being compared with a sibling, or sometimes it can even go back to one event that was so painful that a person's never gotten beyond that. I don't know if Sharon has some specific thing in her life that she believed caused it, but whatever the cause, our security must be found in Christ. Anyone, whether it's you or me or Sharon or anybody else watching, if you try to find your security in how you look, who you know, the job you hold, the friends you have, the neighborhood you live in, any of those kind of things, because they're circumstantial things, those are always things that may change, they shift. People are always changing. You can't place your security in, well, I have this person in my life, so now I feel secure. And so we really must learn to be secure in Christ. And, you know, that's going to be my answer to a lot of these questions, I'm sure. But then I know the question becomes, well, then how do I do that?
Right.
Well, to be honest, unless a person is willing to be a real student of the Word of God, and that's much more than just reading the Bible occasionally or going to church and hearing a few messages. I mean, I had to do a lot of intense, long-time study on who I was in Christ. God loved me. My worth and value wasn't in what I did. Understanding the righteousness of God in Christ before I got over the insecurities that I had in the past. Somebody recently said to me, and it blessed me, you seem to be very secure in your relationship with God. And thankfully I am now, but I suffered for a long time. And I think also people have to realize that some of these problems you don't just get over overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, if God gives you a miracle, you will, but healing always takes time. So for Sharon, don't give up. If you can locate the source, it's good to at least know what you're dealing with and keep studying what the Bible says about who you are in Christ, who you are in Christ, who you are in Christ, who you are in Christ. And not only just study it and walk away from it, but think about it throughout your day. Make confessions about who you are in Christ. And little by little, your mind will be renewed. And as soon as your mind changes, your emotions will follow close after that.
Yeah.
And you know, the book that I did recently about the mind connection, that I share in there how everything begins with your thoughts. So that's what I would like to say to Sharon.
Well, here's one that goes along with what you're saying about understanding the root. This comes from Pat, and Pat says, a lot of the time our insecurities come from our family of origin, where we weren't raised in a secure or nurturing environment. How do you stop seeing God as being like your parents and see Him as He really is, safe, secure, loving?
Well, obviously, God is not like people. I mean, if He was, we would all be in deep, deep trouble.
That is so true.
And I'm not really sure why, but I never blamed my problems on God. I was never angry at God because of what I went through. But I did very much feel that I had to earn His love, which is just totally biblically incorrect. And that was because I had to earn my parents' love. And I got it sometime, and I didn't get it a lot of times. And then even what they told me was love really ended up to be abuse. And so I totally understand it. And here again, I know I'm going to sound like I'm being redundant, but the only answer to these problems is the Word. You see, the Word is not just black words written on white paper with some red ones in there because they're the ones that Jesus said. There's power in the Word of God. It's like every word is like a little bullet full of God's power. There's actually power inherent in the Word of God. For example, James 1:21 says that there's power in the Word to save our souls. Well, the questions that these people have, they're having problems with their soul. If they're born again, it's not a problem with their spirit, because when Christ comes to live in us, that part of us has to be made all cleaned up and good and right in order for Him to move in. Yeah. So at the time He moves in, He does that work in our spirits, and we become new creatures. We're given His heart. He puts His spirit in us, but only through studying the Word is our mind renewed and our soul is saved. Now, I'm not talking about going to heaven or not going to heaven when I say your soul is saved. I'm talking about your soul is made new. You're saved from that torment. I just really plead with people to not get discouraged if the problem isn't fixed overnight. I mean,
that's important.
Yeah. I have a lot of teaching in this area because I struggled with this. And so listen to things that I have or somebody else has that you like over and over and over and over. And once again, let me say, when your mind changes, everything else follows suit.
And it's not like once you've overcome insecurity, it doesn't ever slide back in.
Right.
We all have times of insecurity, as you said earlier, and we have to keep going back to the Word, going back to those promises.
The good thing is, though, is once you are really set free from something, which here again comes by degrees, little by little, when you do experience insecurity, you'll recognize it. You'll recognize the fear of it, the discomfort of it, the shrinking back from things that you should be going forward in. And the sooner that you come against it, the easier it is to not have to deal with it for a long period of time.
Good. Don't let it sit there and settle in. Well, Rebecca understands what you were saying exactly. Rebecca says, I would like to see scriptures. What are some of your favorite scriptures that will give me strength for times of insecurity? I have a lot of self-loathing, which makes me insecure about almost everything, how I look, how I speak, looking stupid. So I keep to myself and I don't go to a lot of places where I might find myself in those situations.
Okay, well, she kind of named the problem right out of her own mouth. She said, I have a lot of self-loathing, okay? So I believe that the root of a lot of problems in people's lives was this way with me. They don't like themselves. And I quote a scripture often where the disciples were asking Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, I think we take that to be, you know, you love yourself so much, now if you love everybody else that way, you're going to be good. But I think that another way of looking at that is you need to love yourself, not be in love with yourself and selfish and self-centered, but you need to love and value and respect yourself, because if you don't, you're not going to show love to anybody else. I know that was my biggest problem. I didn't know how to treat people right, but I wasn't treating myself right. Not necessarily circumstantially, but just in my own heart and my attitude about myself.
Right.
And so that's one of the first scriptures that come to me, is to learn how to love yourself. 1 Peter 3:11 says that we're to be at peace with God, at peace with our fellow man, and at peace with ourselves. So I have to make sure, am I at peace with myself? You know, how do I feel about myself? And I think she's saying, I hate myself.
Right.
Well, I remember a friend of mine one time, she was about to be prayed for by a pastor, and I happened to be there with her. And she looked at him and she said, I hate myself. And he backed up a little bit and he said, who do you think you are? And I thought, well, that's not very kind. But he was trying to shock her into reality. And the next thing he said is, if God loved you so much that he let his son pay the terrible, painful price that he paid to redeem you, then who are you to hate yourself? If God can accept you, see, we have to understand that God doesn't accept us based on our works, but based on the work of Christ. So we always need to be looking at Christ, looking at that cross. We spend a lifetime judging everything based on how we feel. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to do that. You know, I wrote a book called Living Beyond Your Feelings. And so, it's about this whole area. I don't have to decide what my worth is based on how I feel. I can make a decision that I'm going to bow to the Word of God and not bow to my feelings. And so if I feel a way that doesn't line up with the Word, then I have to say my feelings are lying.
Right. Right.
Satan's using my feelings to lie to me, and God's word is true. And yeah. So then I declare the word of God and say, I don't care how I feel, this is what's true.
Right.
And the more you do that, it will change.
Yeah. Can I close with one?
Yeah.
One more, because a couple of these have talked about being people pleasers, and
that's
that
right.
Really comes down to insecurity as well. What do I do not to be such a people pleaser?
Well, I think first we have to always have it in our mind that we want to be a God pleaser and not. You can't be a people pleaser and a God pleaser. So maybe instead of focusing on trying not to be a people pleaser, we need to focus on the answer, which is being a God pleaser. The Apostle Paul said, and it's recorded in Galatians 1:10, if I would have been trying to be popular with people, I would not now be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, how powerful is that? You know, the enemy can easily use people, well-meaning people, even people who love you, to lead you away from the purposes of God. And I had a problem in my life, and it was probably one of my biggest problems. My father was a very angry man, and I learned to kind of dance around that and always try to do what I thought was going to keep him from being angry. Mm-hmm. Because when he got angry, you never really knew what he was going to do. And so I developed a fear of people's anger, especially if it was somebody whose approval I wanted. It didn't matter to me that much if it was somebody I didn't know that well or some random thing. But if it was family or close friends, and I'll be honest with you, I still have to stand against that. I still have to purposely sometimes, if I know that somebody doesn't like what I'm about to do, I still have to go back to, okay, it's important for me to make my own decision here, and I hope you can handle that. But if you can't, I'm going to be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser.
That's good. That's very helpful. Thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome.
We all feel more secure.
Awesome. Well, I hope that my answers to your questions were helpful. The key to living a secure life in Christ is knowing who you are in Christ, really receiving God's love for you, and basing your worth and value on who God says you are. And I want to help you some more with this. So today we're offering you 4 hours of teaching on CD called Winning Life's Battles. And you're going to get teaching about this subject in there. And then also some teaching called Let God Fight Your Battles. God wants to fight for you. He doesn't want you to spend your life frustrated trying to fight all these battles yourself. I believe that the more you study the Word, and see, this is a great example. You know, if you're one of the ones that's having problems in this area, then don't let this opportunity pass you by. The best thing that I know to offer you is the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And so I really want to encourage you, if you struggle in these areas, to get these teachings and start listening to them right away, and I believe that they're really going to help you. God bless you. One of the first things that you need to say when you have a problem is this cannot last forever. Amen. This cannot last forever. This too will pass. Amen. And righteousness is the cure for all insecurity. When you know who you are in Christ, you can be secure. The word secure means to be free from fear and anxiety, free from danger, to feel safe, to be without care. You know, some of you had an opportunity to grow up where you felt safe. You felt cared for, you felt loved unconditionally, and you felt safe. But many of us did not grow up where we felt safe. My father was a very violent man, and you never knew from one minute to the next what he was going to do. I mean, honestly, you could do something one day and he'd think it was fine. You could do the same thing the next day and really get in trouble for it. And I never felt safe. Not only was there the violence and the alcoholism, but the sexual abuse. I never knew when he was going to show up in my room at whatever time and just do whatever he wanted to do. So it took me a long time to learn how to be secure. To be secure. And boy, God offers us that security. God is offering you that security tonight. That's your gift from Him, that you are secure in Him. And security leads us to confidence. We step out and we try things because we are not afraid, or if we are afraid, we do it afraid. Amen. I've had to take many steps of faith, not knowing for sure what was going to happen. But if you have some confidence and you're secure in God's love, you can take a chance on failing. Did you hear me? I said you can take a chance on failing. You don't have to say, well, this is working, this is safe, I'm just going to stay here and take care of myself. No, you can say, I believe God's calling me to step out. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to take that step, and right away fear comes and says, wants to push you back. But even when you feel fear, you can still do what you believe that God is asking you to do. Courage is not never having fear. Courage is going forward while you feel fear. We don't have to live by what we feel. We can live by what we know. Amen? We can live by what we know. And you know what? If you make a mistake, you're going to survive. It's not the end of the world if you make a mistake. Insecure people don't know how to make mistakes and recover from them. We're embarrassed. We don't want people to think we don't know what we're doing. We don't want people to think that we failed. And so many times we just live these little bitty lives. When I look back at my life, to be honest, I don't know whatever gave me the notion that I could do this. It had to be God.
And I mean, some of the stuff that I stepped out into, I just look back and go, did I really do that? I really did that. And you know what? I'm not any kind of a special person. We're all the apple of God's eye, and we're all special in His sight. And you may not be called to do what I'm doing, but you're called to do something. You're called to do something probably even bigger than what you're doing right now. And you need to have the attitude, I'm going to be all God wants me to be. I'm going to have all He wants me to have. I'm going to accomplish all that He wants me to accomplish in life. Confidence is a quality of assurance that leads one to undertake a thing. Confidence allows you to apply for a promotion at your job. Confidence allows you to not let people walk all over you, but to speak up for yourself. When you're confident and secure and somebody asks you to do something and it's really not something that you believe you should be doing, confidence and security allows you to say no. You know how many things people do that they don't want to do and then wonder why they're unhappy? See, because some of you have been controlled all your life. And you're being manipulated and controlled right now. And let me tell you something. When somebody that's been controlling you, when you start to give them the message, it's done. Ooh, honey, you ain't seen a fit. Man, I tell you, I was a controller and a manipulator in my family, and when Dave finally got his gut full of it, he said, God has told me that it's time for me to confront you. And I thought, yeah, God told you in your name. It's a shame I have to tell all my stuff to you. And I'm just telling you the truth. I was not a manipulator and controller because I was mean. I was afraid. I was afraid that nobody else would really care about me and make decisions that would be beneficial to me. So I felt like I felt safe if I stayed in control. And I do believe that God gave me a season of grace and that He gave Dave an extra grace and an extra patience to just kind of go along with a lot of that for a long period of time. But the time came when I had enough of God in me that God knew that I probably wasn't going to walk away from Him. And so then He started confronting me, and He did it by letting Dave know that he wasn't supposed to put up with it anymore. You're not as happy as I'd like you to be. So, you know, you better be careful when you pray, God, change me. Because He's got a toolbox and some stuff in it you may not like. And sandpaper is the least painful of all of it. Well, God, I just don't understand why this person is in my life. They are just really irritating to me, and I don't know why I have to work with somebody like this. Honey, they are doing you more good than you can possibly imagine. You're like, no, I am not receiving that. Nope. I mean, I'm looking at some of you going, that doesn't mean they're right in what they're doing, but there's something in it for you. Something in it for you. God will use them to do a work in you. Not so much, you don't think so? Well, it's okay. And I didn't say they were right. I did not say the way that they behave is right. But how can God teach us to love everybody if we never will be around anybody except the people who make us feel warm and fuzzy? You got to be around some cactuses once in a while. Anyway, when Dave started, I mean, he just said, you know, God's told me that it's time for me to confront you, so you're just not going to rule everything anymore. Whew. I mean, that was a program download into my computer I didn't want. I mean, I literally had so much rage coming out of me. And so the bottom line of what I'm trying to tell you is if you've let somebody control you and manipulate you for a long time, even if it's the devil, you can't expect to just say, oh, I've decided to be free now. Bye. No. You're going to face opposition. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about how to triumph over all opposition in life. Amen. So you got to be willing to stand your ground. And sometimes, now listen to what I'm going to say. Sometimes you have to lose before you gain. Okay? Sometimes you got to give up what you've got to get what you really want. Oh, this is getting good now. But how often do we keep something unsatisfying and inferior? You'll even hang on to friends that don't even treat you right because of fear of being lonely. And you know, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit back in the 1970s and God called me to preach, I lost all my friends. All. I had to make a decision to either go with them or go with God. And I was lonely for a long time. And I can tell you, I'm not hurting for friends now. I had to lose before I gained. Let me say it again. You may have to give up some of what you've got in order to get what you really want. Don't be so afraid of that. And one of the things that will happen if you decide to not be controlled by people, but instead be led by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that sweet? To be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And anybody who is really a friend, you can say to them, I don't really believe that that's what God wants me to do. And they should never argue with you about it. They should say, well, above all things, I want you to be led by the Spirit. That's what they should want for you if they really care about you. Otherwise, they're just using you to get what they want. And God didn't call you just to be used. Amen? Or abused. He wants you to be valued and treasured and treated fairly. But you're going to have to stand up for yourself. A lot of times what we do is we let people walk all over us and then we're mad at them because they're doing it. And God had to show me you're just as responsible as they are. They're doing it, but you're letting them. But see, when you're secure, when you know who you are in Christ, even if you need to be lonely for a little while, you know you'll survive that. Because you trust God. You trust God that if you walked away from anything for Him, that He'll give you back much more in this lifetime. You know, in thinking about the Apostle Paul, we were reading that scripture this morning in Philippians where he was talking about the two kinds of righteousness you can have. The righteousness that's found only in Christ, or a righteousness that you earn by your behavior. And he said, look, I've got everything going for me. I mean, I'm educated, Pharisee of the Pharisees, followed the law. You know, nobody has more going for them in the natural than I do. He said, yet I consider it all trash for the priceless privilege of knowing Him and being found and known as in Him, not having any righteousness of my own, but only that which He gives. So if you think about the situation, I'm quite sure that Paul was judged and criticized and rejected by his peers for his decision. Matter of fact, there's like 13 years where he was out on the backside of somewhere and nobody even really says anything about what he was doing. You know, sometimes you got to go through some hidden years and some silent years to get to know God really good, and then he'll bring you back out of the wilderness. I'm sure that Paul had to pay a price, but boy, was it worth it. Don't let fears and keeping everybody else happy and insecurity and a lack of confidence. And I know what some people say, but I feel. But I feel. You know what? I will preach it from now until the day God is done with me preaching, whenever that's going to be. And I hope it's not until I go to heaven. That we do not have to live by our feelings, but we can live by what the Word of God says. You know, a believer with no confidence is like a big, huge jet airplane sitting there loaded with people with no fuel. And actually, I believe an unbeliever who has confidence, even though I'm sure it's self-confidence, not confidence in God, I believe they can accomplish more than a believer who has no confidence. Why should we not have confidence? We've got Jesus. We've got the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We've got everything that we need. Satan seeks relentlessly to make us feel bad about ourselves. But we can stand up strong and be bold and say, I know who I am in Christ. You know, if I could just tell you one little biblical example before I have to finish up here tonight. You know, God had a great plan for David, the little shepherd boy. And he didn't really get too much natural encouragement in his beginning. Don't be surprised when you step out to do something more than what you're doing if you don't get a lot of encouragement from somebody else. That's why it's important that you've got to believe and know what God is speaking to you. So if other people say, well, that doesn't make any sense, or I don't think you can do that. I mean, I had friends of mine, supposed friends of mine, say, well, we've been talking and we don't think you've got the personality to do what you say you're going to do. And the truth is, they were right. I probably don't have the right personality, but I do have Jesus, and that makes up for anything I don't have. Right? See, there's a lot of stuff you don't have, but you do have Jesus, and that makes up for what you don't have. And the little shepherd boy David knew that. So therefore, he wasn't put off by the rejections of people. And I don't know how well you know your Bible. At this point, I don't have time to go and look up all these scriptures, so I'm just going to tell you the story. But Saul had become a bad king, and Samuel was sent to anoint a new king. And he was told to go to the house of Jesse, and he would find there among his sons the new king that was to be anointed. And so they brought all the sons except one. And Samuel didn't know that they weren't all there, but as they passed before him, one after another was, this is not him, this is not him, this is not him, this is not him. And there was even one that Samuel said, well, surely it's him. I mean, he's like got it all together. Well, no, God doesn't see the way man sees. God sees the heart. That's why you can have less natural ability, but have a heart that's totally available to God. And God can use you in a greater way than somebody who's got all kinds of natural talent but doesn't really love God as much as you do. Here's what qualifies you to be used by God. God, I can do nothing without you. I sure love you, and if you can use me for anything, here I am, send me. That's your qualifications to be used by God. So Samuel said, well, don't you have any more sons? I know this is the family that God, well, yeah, we have one. We've got one. He's out in the field tending the sheep. Well, I wonder, there's nothing in the Bible that says, but a little bit of imagination. I wonder how that would have made David feel. I mean, he wasn't even well thought of enough to be brought in for consideration. So, come on now. If some of you grew up in a family where you felt like that you were slighted or ignored or maybe thought less of than some of your other siblings, you're in good company. Amen? The thing you have to do is not let it ruin your life. Because you see, it doesn't matter what somebody else doesn't think of you. The only thing that matters is what God thinks of you. That's all that matters. This is a happy night, isn't it? And so they brought David in, and sure enough, this was the man. And I love the fact that he was anointed while the brothers had to watch. Let me tell you something that you can plan on. If people mistreat you and slight you and you keep your eyes on Jesus, someday God will raise you up and probably make them watch. Amen. And it is going to make them really mad. Then there comes the Goliath situation. David is sent, starts to get a little relationship with Saul. And, you know, Saul really mistreated David. Why in the world did God send him over there and he was mistreated? Well, I think sometimes we have to be around people sometimes that don't treat us so good to learn what it feels like to be mistreated so we don't go out and mistreat other people. And so David had to serve under Saul for a long time, and in the midst of this, the giant Goliath came up and he was taunting and tormenting the armies of Israel, and no man would fight him. Every one of the big, brave, bad soldiers with all their weapons were afraid of him. And so David went down to the battle line and he said, what shall be done for the man who slays this giant? Well, they thought he was just a show off and silly. And one of his brothers, Eliab, said to him, well, with whom have you left those few sheep that you take care of? See, hear the belittling language. Where did you leave those, you little know-nothing you? Where did you leave your few sheep? Well, as we know, David ended up slaying the giant, not with regular weapons, but with the name of God and some stones and a slingshot. And even Saul said, you can't do that. His brother said, you can't do that. His family said, you're not the right man. Everywhere he turned, it's like, no, 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 no. But God was saying, yes, 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 yes. And I think perhaps that's what God's saying over you tonight. Yes, 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 yes. Amen. And all the promises of God are yes and amen to him who believes. And then one last little thought. Finally, Saul agreed to let David go. But he said, I want you to wear my armor. And the Bible says that David tried to go and he could not because he wasn't used to that armor. And so the message is you're never going to kill Goliath with somebody else's armor on. You got to be you, not a copycat of somebody else. You got to be you, and all you really need is God, some confidence, some courage, a willingness to step out, a willingness to lose to gain. I encourage you to make a decision tonight that you are not going to live a little bitty life, but you are going to live a full life, the one that Jesus really died for you to have. Amen.
Well, I want to reiterate from today's teaching that we need the attitude that we are going to be all that God wants us to be. And to get started, we need to first learn who we are in Christ. Maybe you hear that phrase a lot. It's so important to know who you are in Christ. Today, we're offering you 4 hours of audio teaching and a book. The audio teaching is called Winning Life's Battles, and the book is called Let God Fight Your Battles. And this little book's been very popular. It's 150 pages, but it's a small book. It won't take you very long to read it, but boy, is it going to help you. And so I just want to encourage you to get these resources. I also want to encourage you, as I say goodbye, to enjoy today. Enjoy today. No matter what's going on in your life, even if you're struggling with something, enjoy today. We call our program Enjoying Everyday Life because it is very important to God that you enjoy the life that Jesus died to give you. So have a great day.
Have you ever felt like you're all alone, fighting life's battles against something you can't see? Or maybe you're experiencing difficult times that are seemingly too impossible to handle? Be encouraged. With God, you don't have to face life's trials alone. He is mighty and able to help you triumph over any obstacle you face. Joyce shares how to rely on God and His power in her teaching series, Winning Life's Battles, and her book, Let God Fight Your Battles. For a donation of $30 or more, we'll send you Joyce's 4-part audio series, Winning Life's Battles, and her book, Let God Fight Your Battles. Call our toll-free number, 1-800-727-9673, or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
You know, it's really amazing how many people are living in a constant state of overload. Do you say things like, I can't do this much longer? Well, it may be the way of our culture, but that doesn't mean you have to live that way. In my new book, Overload, I'll show you that you don't have to live every day stressed out and overwhelmed. Remember, God doesn't always want to change everything around you. He wants to change you. Get your copy of my book, Overload, today.
We got hit by a roadside bomb. I was laying in that Humvee bleeding out. I was dying.
I was injured during a rocket attack. Man, my spine was broken in 3 places.
On my second deployment, we had 3 members of our platoon that were killed.
Because of your action, you gave a soldier hope. You gave life to a person who was lifeless.